Hi, and welcome to our latest OutSports podcast. It is March 21st, the first day of the NCAA tournament. Jim, I'm 2-0 so far. How about you?
Me too.
You picked two favorites. One of my brackets was just the chalk that I did, and so I'm curious to see if I could pick better than the chalk, which almost nobody ever can.
Yeah, those pools where if you win $1 million, you get the exact bracket right. Like, that's never going to pay off.
I wonder if Nate Silver has figured out what the odds of actually, what the real odds of getting the entire bracket right is.
Probably 200.
One in a trillion.
Yeah, I mean, you think how many games you got to get right then? 63 or whatever. Yeah.
You have to get 63 games right.
Yeah, and very, not going to happen.
Well, whether it's college basketball or constitutional law, we've got people making guesses about the court case coming up in front of the Supreme Court in the next, next week?
Yeah,
right?
Tuesday.
And there's been, what's crazy, there's been this, I don't know if it's a flood or a trickle or a, what you'd call it, but there's been a lot of athletes starting to say they support same-sex marriage and support an amicus brief from NFL players Chris Cluey and Brendan Badejo. It's not often that NFL players submit an amicus brief to a Supreme Court case, but they did it here. And what do you make of this, Jim? I mean, can NFL players and front office executives and WNBA players really have an impact on the Supreme Court?
Apparently, from what I heard, these briefs can have an impact. I mean, there's one signed by 100 prominent Republicans, and I heard a constitutional expert say that kind of stuff can appeal to certain Republican, or conservative members of the court who know these people personally. They see their name on it. And it does. So in this case, you're getting some athletes, and whether or not it'll have a big impact, they may be getting hundreds of these kind of briefs. But from what I've said, a lot of the justices read them all. That's part of their evidence sort of to do that. So having pro athletes, I think maybe shows, society is a broader sort of level of support for this. I think it's just amazing that to think about this just a few years ago would have been unthinkable, right? I mean.
Well, that was my question. Do people actually read this, and so you're told that they do?
I saw a debate where they had constitutional laws, but they said, yeah, they said the justices do read these amicus briefs, the brief supporting it. Because in a sense, they're there for the record, and, if they don't read them, their law clerks read them and give them a synopsis or something. So, yeah, these things do matter. And as I said, the one from the Republican, ex-officials, current officials and people like that, that's the one that people say, hey, a lot of these justices know these people. And that may resonate because you're not sure what you're getting on the other side. The people who, say, oppose to gay marriage, do they have the same, weight of, numbers of people as those supporting gay marriage?
Well, I understand that having – I think it's up to 130 or 150 prominent Republicans say X. That can have an impact, particularly when it goes against the grain a little bit. But, NFL players, WNBA players, I mean, it's so odd. Like, it doesn't hurt, right?
No, it doesn't hurt. I don't know that it's not going to tip the scales. It's just that I think from societal level, the idea that we now have pro athletes engaged in this is the story more than whether or not it's going to actually affect the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I think the public perception, though, I suppose if John Roberts is a Bengals fan and he sees all these Browns lining up for same-sex marriage, that might affect.
Well, I said the Browns haven't won anything in so long, it may not have an effect. Now, if it was some Steelers, it might have an effect. The Browns, it may just hurt the case.
God, I wasn't thinking about it. Have the people who were signing up for this actually won anything? It was some Bears
some
Ravens.
Boring,
and,
so.
Yeah, the Ravens. Actually, there were some WNBA players and coaches who they've won some championships. So,
but I think the cool thing about it is just, in a sense, this is sort of non-controversial right now. No one's criticizing these athletes for doing this, and they – That's a change. Remember, we used to try to get people to talk about it, or we would hear from other reporters, and it would be like pulling teeth to get athletes to talk about the gay issue. Now, it's not that hard. And
well, there's still some.
No, absolutely. But compared to in the past, it's a big difference.
Yeah, no question.
And, you know, it's interesting. Scott Fujita's with the Browns, and there's several Browns on there, which tells you that, you know, the probably discussions with him in the locker room with these guys. And he said he's had discussions in when he's with the Saints on this. So,
it's funny. Yeah, somebody posted on the story right away, like, you know, why is this only WNBA and NFL players? Well, it's not so easy wrangling professional athletes to do something. And Major League Baseball, the players are in spring training. The NBA is in the middle of the season. NHL is in the middle of the season. And the guys organizing this are NFL players, so they reached out to the people they know, and, you know, they got the quote-unquote low-hanging fruit. I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think the names on there, it's not necessarily, oh, we don't have anybody from baseball. Because, again, it's they have to get people signed up for this pretty quickly, and then you're probably dealing with who knows how many layers, maybe an agent or a publicist or, you know, it just... and so the numbers are important more than exactly who's on it. And these are, again, pro athletes. And
well, what I like is that there are some names on here that we haven't heard from in the past. And you know, we always try to highlight those new voices that are being added to the cause, even if it's, you know, a punter like Chicago Bears, Adam Podlish. I don't even know how to say his name, Podlish. The Brown center, Alex Mack. I mean, these are guys that we just haven't heard from on this issue before. And for their first foray into this to sign a Supreme Court brief, it's pretty good. It's pretty powerful.
Well, and the one we had a story on a couple weeks ago, the MMA fighter Rashad Evans, who when you look at him looks like the meanest dude ever, you know, and he writes this beautiful... He sent us a statement on it, which is beautifully written. It's not about sex, it's about love, and it's like, wow, this, you know, you wouldn't have expected that from the guy. And so in some ways, when you sort of least expect it, these people kind of pop up, and like, you never judge a book by its cover.
Yeah. Well, it's been great to see, you know, Athlete Ally. They've been working behind the scenes to help get this done. They have some legal resources, and they're building a network that was, able to get some of this done. So, you know, but what's also interesting is that they and You Can Play and these groups that are trying to get more straight allies to be part of the LGBT sports movement, it's interesting to watch them with this balancing act of wanting to support same-sex marriage but not wanting to be for same-sex marriage as a group because, you know, they want allies in sports, whether they're for same-sex marriage or not. They just want to make sports more open to LGBT people. So it's interesting to watch them kind of balance this so they don't alienate people who might be for a gay teammate, but they're not necessarily for same-sex marriage.
Well, I think we saw that with You Can Play, and I think the issue is if you make a litmus test support of gay marriage, then it might muddy the message. And the message simply is, if you can play, we want you on the team. Because it's not necessarily that people would be opposed to gay marriage, but they don't want to get involved in political issues in general. And so it's like, okay, do I then have to take a stand on, I don't know, abortion, affirmative action, pick a million different things? The idea is, well, it doesn't matter. You're a teammate. It doesn't matter what your political views are, what your religious affiliation is. All you can do is play. So I think that's why it's important the narrow casting, at least with the You Can Play project, is done specifically so you don't get it all tangled up in politics. Because when you get it tangled up in politics, then you start getting divisive stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's not just You Can Play, it's Athlete Allies. You know, they dip a little bit more into politics, but, you know, they have very specific goals. They want to fix sports, right? Mm-hmm. And the other stuff just isn't. And some people in the public have been, you know, kind of going after them. I know Patrick Burke got a lot of heat. I think it was one of the Boston Bruins said he was against same-sex marriage. And Patrick's like, I'm not commenting on this. Like, he did not talk about gay teammates. He did not talk about gay people. And marriage is a different issue. And he got a lot of heat from people for it. But, and which I understand both sides, but I really do respect what they're doing, you know. And you don't want to alienate this guy as a potential sports ally because he disagrees with marriage.
Well, having been on teams ourselves, you could see how if you made politics a litmus test, it could really just be divisive. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, who cares? Once the ball snapped, all you care about is can the receiver run the route? Can the defensive back stop the play? Can the goalie make a save? So it's all irrelevant. So that's why I think the idea of not making that the focus, which is why with this brief, is these guys, you know, voluntarily signed up for this. They were not coerced into doing it. It was, you know, they said, hey, I feel strongly enough politically about this that I do want to make this an issue. So,
right.
So I think they can, yeah. They can kind of work in tandem. It's not an either or. But I think, yeah. But I think for the vast majority of athletes, they probably simply want the ability to be able to just play on their team in sport. They don't care what their political affiliation is of other teams. We've seen Ian Badejo with Matt Burke, who's a Baltimore Raven who's against gay marriage, and he said they had a great relationship, as did Cluey. They had discussions about it. You know, as a person, they did not dislike Matt Burke or hate him, you know, even though they disagree with him. And I think you have to balance that in a team concept.
Look into your crystal ball, Jim. What happens with the Supreme Court? You got two cases, one the Defense of Marriage Act and one Prop 8. What do you think will happen?
I think the Defense of Marriage Act is going to be struck down because, from what I understand, it's a very narrow ruling that basically says if you allow gay marriage in your state, the Defense of Marriage Act violates the rights of these people to have the same benefits. So I think that's going to be an easy one. I think on Prop 8, which might be the overall gay marriage thing, people we know, we've talked to one of our friends who's at a big-time law firm, and some of the predictions are, I mean, they could rule anything from the opponents of gay marriage not having standing, which means the case just ends and California has gay marriage, all the way to there is a constitutional right to, you know, marriage equality, and then it's nationwide. I'm not going to predict, because when you try to predict the Supreme Court, it's, you know, it's a losing effort. But I've seen scenarios. There's like 8 possible scenarios. The one that seems to be a lot of people think may happen is called the 8-state solution. There are 7 states, including 8 states, including California, that allow civil unions but not gay marriage. And those states may be allowed that, you know, marriage is marriage, so they get to call it gay marriage. And then you add them to whatever, is there 9 states already that have it?
Yeah.
And that it's incrementally that way. Then the other states can knock it down as it goes. But what do you think? I mean, I really don't know, because you're dealing with a subject that's kind of uncharted territory.
I think that when you're a Supreme Court justice, you live for cases like this. Cases that are legacy cases you're going to be remembered by, and I can't imagine the Supreme Court shying away from this and on a technicality, you know, standing before the court.
Well, but there's a big difference between that and a full ruling. I mean, they said there's a lot of other...
Well, I think there will be I think they're going to rule on it.
So you think they'll make it? It'll be ruled one way or the other on the constitutionality of.
Yeah, I do. I just
as
think
opposed
that these
to a limited.
Cases,
this applies to 7 states.
Yeah, I mean, what? This is why they're there. Supreme Court justice is lucky to get 2 or 3 of these cases over the course of their career.
Yeah.
And how do you not? Swing for the fences.
Well, because Kennedy said last week, he said these contentious issues should not be decided by 9 people with, you know, and that maybe it should, that it seemed to open up, that it might be a thing that, you know what, we
except he did it with health care.
But that was they had a rule on health care. They had a rule up or down. They didn't have various options they could have done. I mean, this way, the whole standing issue could be their way out of it.
Well, either way, I'm sure that our predictions will be as accurate as our NCAA brackets, which are getting now bust. Oh no, Pittsburgh's within 6. Not that getting a first round game is so bad, especially an 8-9 game. Anyhow, that's all we have time for this week. We will talk to you when Gonzaga and Louisville and Indiana are both been eliminated. Bye.